Hare Krishna. Just celebrating the 20th anniversary of Dayanitaya Vijaya Gauranga installation ceremony. It's actually the 21st anniversary of the installation of the small deities and the 20th anniversary of the installation of the large deities. And we have a very beautiful the decorated altar, and Srinivasan, and Vyasasan, and the packed house, and a day-long program of chanting and dancing and prasadam and hearing about Krishna. And of course, the appearance of the Lord directly on his murti form in the temple brings to mind our responsibility to him in spreading the Sankirtan movement, and that was the substance of the talk that I'd given just now to the devotees. The mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yagyaya Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumirasa, and how to really realize that mission, Prithivitya Chiyatanagaradi Gram, so that people in the world all become Vaishnavas, that they all chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that they're all worshipping the deity form of the Lord and studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and really change the whole lifestyle, because ultimately that's what Krishna consciousness is about. We're not just meant to be a religion. We're a spiritual culture, which meant to revitalize the whole way in which the world sees things. Let me use terminology that you may have heard before, namely that of a paradigm shift, because this is what Krishna consciousness is trying to realize, a paradigm shift. Paradigm is a way that people see things based upon their conditioning or their acceptance of a way of life, a certain aspect of life. There are different paradigms in so many different fields of endeavor. For instance, the paradigm in science is that of materialism, that ultimately you can explain this world, you can explain reality by some very basic and relatively simple mathematical formulas and physical laws, and of course we're looking for the universal constant, or that one equation that ultimately explains everything. And of course they've yet to find that, and they won't. But that's the paradigm. It wasn't always the way people saw things. At a certain point in history, people saw the world as the creation of God. Now they don't see it like that. But there was a shift, and different factors contributed to that shift. But it's not so much the factors that are so much important, but we know that from the acceptability of science, some of the successes that science had in explaining certain phenomena, ultimately the whole view of the world changed from a relatively spiritual one, even though not a fully informed spiritual one, to a material one. Another paradigm shift, say in the realm of sociology, or you could say politics, is that of course back in the Middle Ages, the vision of women were that women didn't have souls. Just like right now, the vision of many religions is that animals and plants don't have souls. Only human beings have souls. Well, at that time, women didn't have souls either. Of course, later on, that's changed, and now they have souls. But it was up until almost, well, just a little over 100 years ago in America, women couldn't even vote. That changed. It changed that sociological position that women can't vote changed because of lobbying, political pressure, and by changing the way people think about women, that women do have rights, that they do have the right to say who governs them. So with a certain amount of, or a large amount of lobbying, writing, communication, a different version or a different vision of who women are and what their role is in society. Ultimately, that took hold, and then there was a tipping point. And of course, now the paradigm has really gone in the other direction, and that is women's equal rights, that they're equal in every single way. So these are paradigms, and we see that people's vision of the world, of certain aspects of life, in their, is set by their paradigm. They see things that way, and they don't see anything outside of that paradigm, until there's such a time as some factors, activities, information, evidence accumulates, and then all of a sudden they see things differently. For instance, in geology, the conviction was, or even started going back further than that, of course, the conviction was at a certain point that the Earth was flat. And then by a overwhelming scientific evidence, people came to the conclusion and accepted that it was round. At a certain point, when you thought the world was flat, round, then you were a heretic and you could be burnt at the stake. Now everyone accepts that the world is round, and of course I don't know if anyone's apologized to the people who were burnt at the stake for believing what now everyone believes. At that time it was radical idea. Now it's the status quo. And what I was going to say also is that at one point everyone was convinced that continents are fixed in place, but now, and that just happened in the middle of the last century, it was accepted that actually, for instance, when you look at the map, you can see it's quite obvious that North America and Europe were one continent, and then they drifted apart. There was some kind of cataclysmic event, and the Atlantic Ocean appeared. So, a way of thinking, a paradigm, how people view things, and then seeing things outside of that paradigm, that's taboo. It's forbidden. Or you just become ridiculed when you do that. And that's, of course, something that we also expect. That's what we also experience, excuse me. And in Krishna consciousness, what are we trying to do? Well, we're not just trying to do a geological, sociological, scientific paradigm shift. We actually want to shift the entire way in which people see things. We're presenting a whole different scientific view. Our scientific view is that life comes from life, life doesn't come from matter, and that the world was created. Our sociological view is that society should be arranged according to four varnas and four ashramas, according to Krishna's teachings in the Bhagavad Gita and elsewhere in Shastra. Our view of religion is that God isn't impersonal, but God is a person. In fact, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In music, we have a different idea, a different shift in music, in entertainment, in art, in education, in everything. And to to affect that. That's why Srila Prabhupada had different branches of the Krishna consciousness movement preaching in different ways. His idea is that we need to go out and present the teachings of Krishna consciousness in all of these varied ways to people and put forward evidence for all of our ideas until that evidence becomes so large that there will be a tipping point. That people will start to, that people will believe that the teachings of the Hare Krishnas is actually the way to define reality, the way to define this world, the way that people should live, the way that people should enjoy, and so on. And that's why Prabhupada emphasized so much preaching, Harinam, especially book distribution. He didn't use the word paradigm shift, but he certainly said that, yes, if we keep on doing this and if we give this information to the general mass of people, ultimately there will be a shift people will shift towards our cultural conquest, will shift towards our spiritual culture that we're trying to present and the worldview that we're presenting on anything and everything. That will actually really usher in that golden era that we talk about. But it really requires being bold. It requires being bold because when you first start to give another worldview and all of these different aspects, what do people do? They ridicule you. They laugh at you, and that's what they did. They laugh at us. Now they accept us a little more seriously as an authorized bona fide religion, but that's not our point, to become accepted as an authorized bona fide religion, or at least it's not our goal, our end goal. Our goal is, yes, we're a religion, and we're here to change how you see spirituality, how you see eating and eating habits, and how you see the role of women and men in society, and so on. So we're not just satisfied with us being accepted, but we also want to give to others. And this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Yes, whomever you meet. Now you meet a lot of people every day. But give them Krishna's message. So are we doing that? Are we giving Krishna's message? And if we don't, well, the paradigm shift will certainly take place because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that it would, but it may not be us who's doing it. Whoever does it, they're the ones who don't to do it. We shouldn't just simply automatically think, well, it's this Krishna consciousness movement who will do it. A Krishna consciousness movement will do it. Which Krishna consciousness will do it? The ones who do it, they're the ones who have done it. But if we do it, then we get the credit. It's a real opportunity for us to really review, well, are we doing it? What are we doing? I'm just reading Prabhupada Lilamrita, and it's one of the points that I raise with the devotees, that when Srila Prabhupada became more and more active in preaching, then he was doing things that most other religious people in India at that time were doing, going out and giving pravachan, talking about Krishna, people give the opportunity to take darshan, well, at least take darshan of him. Prabhupada didn't have deities, chant Hare Krishna, and others were also chanting Hare Krishna. But what was it that Srila Prabhupada was doing that was really different? Is that Prabhupada didn't expect people to just come here and go away and continue their life. He wanted them to change their lives. He wanted them to change the way that we're living. Prabhupada wasn't just satisfied with participants in some kind of program or a festival. He wanted people who are actually going to do something, who are going to do something in their lives, and who are going to do something in the lives of others. He wanted doers. That's what made Srila Prabhupada very different. As we know, Prabhupada was very result-oriented. He was not just interested in people coming and accepting us as a bona fide religion. Well, that's fine and good. But he wanted people to do something about it. That if we are a bona fide religion, then to apply everything that they hear in their own personal lives and bring about that real change of heart in their own lives. And Srila Prabhupada wanted that we also make a change in the lives of others and take seriously Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Right? And I was actually telling the devotees that that was one of my first challenges when I came to Hungary, that in the first couple of years we're actually preaching incognito. And everything was really sort of funded by the UK Yatra. But then when the regime place change took place, then I wanted devotees to start doing more. They're just coming to programs, having a good time, taking prasadam, and going away. I want them to take responsibility for Krishna consciousness. And ultimately, we want to start a center, to start preaching and to start distributing books and giving Krishna consciousness to others. In short, to do something. And the more of us that do something, then the more likelihood that will be that this tipping point will take place very soon, and by us. It was just interesting. I was reflecting with the devotees that it said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had 20,000 disciples. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but however number of disciples he had, out of these, one of them took seriously Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission to really do something, to take Krishna consciousness and to take it out to the world. But just imagine what would have happened if all 20,000 would have actually done the same as what Srila Prabhupada had done, and they would have all become empowered by their spiritual master and blessed. 20,000 times the result of what Prabhupada achieved. You could really do a tipping point. And now how many of us are there? There's certainly 20,000 followers of Srila Prabhupada, probably more like hundreds of thousands of followers. And if we all are willing to do anything to give Krishna consciousness to the world, to actually bring about this revolution, then we could expect that, yes, that tipping point could very easily take place. So if we all participate in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, we all participate in Harinam, we all go out and distribute prasadam, we all take responsibility for preaching and take this mission outside, then just imagine what could take place. But it will really only take place when we as individuals take responsibility and we do it. And then, yes, there can be a real paradigm shift, and that golden age that we talk about and devotees ask about, it can really become a reality. Hare Krishna.